pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles: Simon, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you for the wonderful hope that lies before us. As we've sung, Lord, tonight, this world is not our home. We're just a passing through. We're thankful that our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And one day we shall see our Saviour, and we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. Lord, what a wonderful day that is. We look forward to it, Lord. But tonight, Lord, as we gather around your word, Lord, we pray that as we look into this passage tonight, that would be, Lord, an encouragement to us. And as we see what the Lord Jesus did in choosing those apostles and who they were, and we give you thanks in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Again, last week we looked at verse 12 in particular, where the Lord Jesus went into the mountain to pray, and the Bible says there he was there all night, and he was alone. He had an important decision to make, didn't he, that next day, choosing the 12 apostles, those men who would become renowned throughout the world, down through the decades, and that's an important decision. And so it took an all night of prayer. It took a time when he showed that he was really serious, wasn't he? You take a night in prayer, you're serious about something. And so it was this important decision that he had to make. And the Bible says there in the next verse, and when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. And, by now the opposition is beginning to mount against the Lord Jesus. We touched on that last week, and there in verse 11, where it says they were filled with madness and communed one with another what they might do to Jesus. So the opposition is mounting up. There's about 2 years to go, roughly, to the cross. And it's now time to choose these apostles who, except for the last one, would become the foundations of the church. Important decision, important time. And it's also mentioned in Matthew chapter 10, verse 1 through 4, and then Mark chapter 3, 13 to 19. But notice some things here. The Bible says there, when it was day, he called unto him his disciples. And so there was a large group of people that he called, and out of that large group he chose 12, whom he chose to call apostles. Now he called the disciples, and the disciples we understand are followers or learners, students as it were, but the apostle was something a little different. The apostle was an ambassador, and an ambassador has the full authority of the sending body, in this case the Lord Jesus. Apostle is someone who's chosen to have a special message for the Lord. And ultimately, of course, they were to be a witness of the Lord Jesus' resurrection. That was an important witness that they had. It seems, as we look through the accounts, that they were all from Galilee except from Judas Iscariot. And it's interesting because generally the nation of Israel, if they were to look down at any area, it was Galilee. It's interesting how the Lord chooses people that, you know, other people look down on. And because you remember when Philip came to Nathanael and said, you know, we found him who was the Messiah. And he said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And where's Nazareth? Down in Galilee. it wasn't necessarily the place that you'd probably look for if you're going to choose apostles, especially for such an important position, as it were. We notice also that he didn't choose all the top scholars in the country, did he? He just chose fishermen and different ones. He didn't go to the elite, and thank God he doesn't do that. That gives us all a chance, amen. One was a tax collector. I mean, would you choose a tax collector? I mean, the tax collector, he was hated by the Jews because he was a tax collector. And yet the Lord saw him saved and then chose him to be an apostle. You know, what a turnaround that is. And that's what the Lord can do, of course. But you think about it, have a look at Acts 4:13, and I'll make a couple of references to this passage tonight, but right now in Acts 4, again, these weren't scholars, these weren't, you know, part of the hierarchy that the Lord Jesus chose. But notice in Acts 4, the apostles have been in trouble with the hierarchy, and you notice there in verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were, notice what it says, they were unlearned and ignorant men. That ought to be an encouragement to us. We don't have to be scholars. Now, we don't have to be ignorant either, but they looked at them and said, these are just unlearned and ignorant men. These men who are called apostles. But notice that also it says, they marvelled. They said, wow, how could this be? And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And so these 12 that the Lord Jesus chose, they weren't, you know, what we call the top of the range. They were unlearned and ignorant men in the eyes of the majority. And you know what Paul wrote? Have a look. Let's go to 1 Corinthians just to see what Paul wrote in chapter 1. First Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26 and following. Paul wrote this, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But notice what he says next. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Why? That no flesh should glory in his presence. When they look at these men, Peter and John, and they say, what in the world? These are unlearned, ignorant men. Who gets the glory? God gets the glory. Amen. And they couldn't stand, yeah, well, we're apostles. You unlearned and ignorant. God gets the glory, amen. So be encouraged tonight. You don't have to be, you know, whatever, to be used of God. In fact, quite the opposite. God uses all those different ones, doesn't he? He takes those who are least in their own eyes. Come on, Gideon, you're the man. No, not me, Lord. I'm not going to do it. I can't do it. I'm just of a little tribe here, and I'm hiding up here. Don't you know we're under attack? He said, no, you're the man. What about you? And so he goes on, doesn't he? God chooses so often those that men would never choose. Never do. I mean, even you think about Joseph and Mary. Would you choose Joseph and Mary to send the Son of God to be born on earth? God manifest in the flesh? This poor couple who got no fame or fortune? God chooses various ones, doesn't he? That way he gets the glory and they get the blessing. And so notice again there back in Luke, he says, and when it was day, he called unto his disciples and he chose 12. Now, they didn't choose themselves, did they? He chose them. He chose them. And so it is today. God chooses people and puts them in certain places, certain ministries, doesn't he? God does the choosing. Now, we're to be available. We're to be willing. That's true. And obviously these men were willing and available, but so were a whole bunch of other disciples there as well. But the Lord says, I'm going to choose 12, that one, that one, that one, that one, that one, that one. And so it is, God chooses people to fulfill certain ministries, and when he chooses, then he also enables, doesn't he? And so he chooses these 12 men. Again, as we mentioned, you say, why 12? Well, think about it just a little bit. How many tribes in Israel? 12. 12 tribes of Israel. God chooses 12, or the Lord Jesus chooses 12 apostles. Remember the 12 tribes that make up the nation of Israel. Well, the Lord chooses 12 apostles and they become part of the foundation of the church. Now there's a new nation, as it were. There's 12 apostles. It's interesting when you look in Revelation 21 and you look at the new city, Jerusalem. And what do you see there? Amongst other things, you see 12 gates. And what's written on the names of the gates? The 12 tribes of Israel. Something else interesting. You read there that there's going to be 12 foundations. And guess what's on the foundations? Names of apostles. 12 is God's number for this work to be done. So when we look here, the Bible says in verse 14, Simon, whom he also named Peter. So there's 12 of them named. And I want to just focus first of all on the last one, Judas Iscariot. And Judas Iscariot, which was also the traitor. Now, I want to focus on him first just to highlight one of the reasons why the Lord needed to pray all night, or why I believe he wanted to pray all night. Very difficult choice. You have a look in John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And in verse 64, first of all, we'll read there, John chapter 6, verse 64. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus, knows what it says, knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. You read on a little bit further. And he said, therefore said unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him by my Father. You go down to verse 68. Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and assure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Verse 70, Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil. He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. For he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. You think that would have been an easy decision, picking those 12 apostles, and one of them Judas, knowing he was going to betray you? I don't think that would have been an easy decision. As he nominates Judas, what's in the forefront of his mind? This is the one who's going to betray me. This is the one who's going to be the traitor. Ultimately, he's the one who's going to point me out so that I go to the cross to suffer. That wouldn't be an easy decision to make, would it? Humanly speaking, it'd be much easier to pick some other nice fellow. We don't, why pick him? You know what he's going to do, that's right. But this is the will of God. And that's why I'm praying all night. And partly because of this man here, I believe, Judas Iscariot. It's interesting what is said of him. Iscariot probably means in Hebrew, it's the word Ish, which has man of Kerioth, which was a town in southern Judah, which Joshua speaks about in chapter 15. Some connect it with the Aramaic word sikwa, which means falsehood. Thus Judas, the false one. This man says the geographic explanation is probably right. But nevertheless, whatever it was, it does highlight sometimes you need some serious prayer, don't you? You're going to make decisions like that, you better do some serious praying. You want to know God's will. You want to know God's mind about it. And so it was there. Again, you know, these events are mentioned, or this selection was mentioned in Matthew 10 and Mark chapter 3. It's interesting, there's three groups of four when you look through that and study that. Amongst that, there was three sets of brothers. There was Peter and Andrew and James and John and James and Judas, three lots of brothers. In the three groups, it's interesting, in those three groups of four, Peter's named always first in group number one. Philip's always first in group number two. And James, the son of Alphaeus, always first in group number three. Some of those others differ slightly, but those three are always named first. When you think about it, you read through the Gospels, and Peter certainly stands out as the number one in a sense, doesn't he? He's the one who really stands out amongst the apostles. But I want us to have a look now in Mark chapter 3 and see a little bit more about this selection, this choice that the Lord Jesus made about these apostles, and some of the reasons or the purpose for it. It's in Mark chapter 3 and verse 13, and he goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would, and they came unto him. So again, Luke talks about that, calling the disciples. Verse 14, and he ordained 12 that they should be with him, that he might send them forth to preach and to have power to heal sickness and to cast out devils. Okay, so he chooses these 12. He ordains, he calls these 12. We see one of the first things here, that they should be with him. All right, up until then, yes, they've had contact, yes, they've been around and all that sort of stuff, but now he wants them with him. One of the things I suggest is for fellowship. I mean, imagine the Lord Jesus, he's a man. And you and I know the Christian life can be a pretty lonely life sometimes. You wonder, is anybody out there? Lord, am I the only one? the Lord Jesus was tempted at all points like as we are. He knows what it was like. And so he chooses 12, not only for that reason, but I believe for some fellowship, so that he can spend time with them and they can spend time with him. Be a blessing to one another. But not only that, it would be a time of learning. A time of learning. Remember, these men, this is all foreign to them. The Messiah is coming to die on the cross. What? No, no, the Messiah is going to come and be the king. They got some things to learn. And so they need to be with the best teacher on earth at that point. That's the Lord Jesus. By the way, he's still the best teacher through the Spirit of God. And he's available to all of us. Now they're having fellowship and they're learning, but not only that, it says not only be with him, but that he might send them forth to preach. So he needs to fellowship with them, he needs to teach them so that he can send them out to do what? To preach, proclaim the good news. And Matthew 10 tells us that it was first of all to the nation of Israel. It wasn't until later on in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 where he says, now I want you to go not only in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, but to the uttermost part of the earth and get out there. But at this point, he's called them to preach the gospel across the nation of Israel. Not only that, the Bible says there, and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. In other words, he gave them authority and enabling to deal with all those things. Why? Because that was going to be a sign. This is God working in the nation of Israel at that time. I want to see some lessons for us regarding these men that he chose. Okay, there was the various ones there, 12, Simon, he is also named Peter. The Lord Jesus changed his name when he first met him. Andrew was the one who brought Peter to the Lord Jesus. He says, we found this one who's called the Messiah. Then there was James and John. Remember, they were fellow fishermen. Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew, the tax collector, Thomas. Sadly, Thomas is best known for his doubting Thomas, isn't he? Lord, if I could just see, then I'll believe. Lord said, okay, come and have a look. Here you are, touch, have a look, feel. Thomas was more than that, but he's certainly known as the doubting Thomas. It's interesting, what I find, just digressing slightly, there's a lot of sayings in the world which actually come from the Bible. People don't realise it. Doubting Thomas. Where's that come from? Who made that up? It comes from the scriptures. People call him Doubting Thomas. You're reading the book of Job. I shouldn't have told you where it is. It talks about by the skin of your teeth. You ever heard that? Just made it by the skin of their teeth. That's in the book of Job. And we could go on. All sorts of things there. The various things that are in the scriptures which people just take for granted. They use them as, sayings. That's by the by. First thing I want us to notice, and we've already touched on it, these men were learners. Okay? Have a look in Matthew chapter 15. They had some things to learn still. And we can probably put a hand up and say, yeah, that's me. I've got some things to learn still. But notice here in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 10, and he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind. If the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, are you also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand? Peter, you got some things to learn, my friend. They're learners. Peter, don't you understand? That whatsoever entereth into the mouth goeth into the belly, and it's cast out into the draught, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile a man. Peter, don't you understand these things? For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, etc. We touched on that this morning, didn't they? These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. Peter, don't you understand? You got some things to learn, Peter, let me tell you. You have a look in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 6. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it's because we've taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Notice what he says next. Do you not yet understand, neither remember that five loaves, the 5,000, how many baskets took up? He said, hello. What? Haven't you learnt yet what I've been teaching you? Guess what? It's a little bit like us, isn't it? You know, we're still learners. I reckon I got it now. You've got some things to learn, let me tell you. Do you not understand, neither remember the 5 loaves or the 5,000, how many baskets you took up? How often are we like them? We forget things. We forget that we got a great blessing from the Lord yesterday and here we are moping today. Lord, Lord, what's going on? So, have you forgotten what I did the other day? Oh, sorry, Lord, that's right. Yeah, Lord, Lord, forgive me, please. A little bit like you and I, aren't they? I'm saying this to encourage us tonight, not to discourage us, amen. Because, you know, God could use them, he can use us. You know, we're all learners. You know, God's going to have to teach us some things. Notice some other things here. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. And verse 23, the Bible says this, and when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? They had some faith problems. You ever find you got faith problems? Lord, I know what your word says, but Lord, I oh, you have little faith. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. I believe that. So what are you worried about? Oh, ye of little faith. Why are you anxious about these things? We know the story of Peter, don't we? He's walking on the waves. Wow, look at that. A moment or two later, he's sinking. And the Lord says what? Oh, ye of little faith. Oh, ye of little faith. And yet, bless God, he could use those apostles still. Amen. They're not perfect. They're just the same as you know. Remember what James said about Elijah? Elijah was a man of like passions as we are. You know, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. It rained on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and earth brought forth the fruit. But sometimes we can look at these men or even the women in the scriptures, oh, wow, you know, wow. They're just flesh and blood, the same as us. They have the same and had the same struggles. They had some things to learn still. They had some faith problems, some trusting problems at times. They had a forgetful mind at times. Yeah, but, yep, that's right. That's right. That's right. You have a look in Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. And I know we wouldn't have this problem, but we'll look at it anyway. Mark chapter 9 and verse 33. And he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, "What was it that ye disputed among yourselves by the way?" Imagine that, they were having some discussion. Well, he calls it a dispute. I've yet to see Christians who have a dispute among themselves. I mean, that doesn't happen, does it? notice what it says. But they held their peace, for by the way they had disputed among themselves, who should be the greatest? That'd be an interesting discussion, wouldn't it? Now, come on, Bri. I reckon that I'll be up there. Come on. No, I don't think so, Pete. You just got a big mouth. I don't think you'll make it. No, I will be. What about you, John? Oh, come on. No worries at all. No way you will. No way you will, James. There's no way. So they're disputing. Oh. Well, who should be the greatest? And he sat down and called the 12 and saith unto them, "If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all." So listen, you guys have got a pride problem. You're disputing about who is going to be the greatest. Excuse me, you've got a total wrong attitude and approach. If you want to be great, then you have to be a servant of all. The Lord Jesus taught that often, didn't he, even by his own example. He said, if you want to be pretty well up there, you want to be a servant, but if you want to be greatest, then you need to be a slave to others, to God. You have a look at Matthew 20. Matthew chapter 20. And I think these things, I find them encouraging because you think, oh, well, there's hope for me yet. Matthew 20 in verse 20. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshipping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, "What wilt thou?" And she saith unto him, "Grant that these my two sons may sit the one on thy right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom." But Jesus answered and said, "You don't know what you ask." Lord, I'd like my boys to be up there. I'd like them one on the either side of the throne. A little bit of a pride issue there, I think. God says, no. You think about Peter, talk about a bit of pride problem. He says, I won't deny you, Lord, no way. No, Lord, that's not me. Well, we'll wait and see. We'll wait and see. You have a look in Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14, and notice what we find there. Chapter 14 and verse 27. And Jesus saith unto them, "All ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee." But Peter said unto him, "Although all shall be offended, yet will not I." Well, the Lord says, actually, you're all going to be leaving me. You're all going to desert me. Peter says, "No, not me, Lord. No. Although all shall be offended, I won't." You could call that a pride problem, yeah. But what happened when he was faced with it? Fear took over. See you later. I don't know him. Bye. No. You've gone from pride to fear, Peter. How'd you go from pride to fear? You're in the flesh in the first place. You're the one who got in the flesh there and said, "Although all shall be offended, yet will not I." If he'd added on there, "by the grace of God," that would have been okay. But that's not what he did he? "I will not, even though everybody else does." So what are you saying? I'm saying... these fellows had problems that are common to all of us, sooner or later. Yes, you will. You will. You'll forsake me. Have a look in Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, and notice here in verse 15, he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. And that's what happens next. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. And the Lord Jesus said, he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offence unto me, for thou savourest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. He's got a little problem with the devil here. Just a small problem with the devil. he's gone from, thou art the Christ, oh, you're blessed, Simon. My Father which is in heaven has revealed this to you. He's gone from being super spiritual, I say that carefully, he's gone from being super spiritual to be totally in the flesh in a short time. Totally in the flesh. Thou savourest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Satan has got a hold of you, Peter, right now. Can that happen to us today? You better believe it. You better believe it. Be careful. We can sometimes be the target of the devil, but sometimes we can also be the tool of the devil. We have to be careful. Make sure that we're not doing things that are of man. Make sure we're doing that which is of the Lord, amen. Because if not, we're going to be in trouble. We'll be alongside Peter. And so, again, I say these things to encourage us. God chose 12 men outside Judas Iscariot. We know about him. He betrayed the Lord Jesus and all that he did. But those men, they're like you and I. They were learners. You know, they had things they needed to learn. They had faith problems at times. You know, it's not always, yeah, I'm just going to conquer the world all day, every day, till the day I die. There could be days when you're not quite like that. There could be days when something comes along and you start to doubt and you wonder, Lord, is this really what you want? Oh, is this really of you, you know, oh, ye of little faith? It can be a pride problem. Yeah, well, I've memorized 55 verses this week. Come on, bring it on. Look out. Might be that 56th one that you needed on that week. it could be just fear. Yeah, but what are people going to say? What will they think? Oh, my. I'd like to witness to them, but oh, I don't think I can. Be careful. Be careful. Fear. Problems with the devil, all those things. But be encouraged also with this. Think how they finished. They finished well, amen. They finished fine, but in the process they had to learn some things. Their faith had to grow. They had to deal with pride, and they had to deal with fear, and they had to deal with the devil, and probably many other things really too. But look at the end result. It was all good, and God used them in an amazing way. They became the foundation of the church. Amazing when you think about it. Remember Acts chapter 4 verse 13. Let's close out with that verse. Acts chapter 4 verse 13. Let's read it again, what was said there. Remember, the disciples were in trouble and things were happening. They were facing all sorts of problems. But verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, that's you and I pretty much, they marvelled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Is that us? The people look at us and say, these people, are obviously they're Christians. They're obviously followers of Jesus. That's how it ought to be, amen. The rest's part and parcel of the Christian life, but the end result should be, yeah, they're unlearned and ignorant, but they're followers of the Lord Jesus, all right. No doubt about that, amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and bless you. Truly, we thank you for your word. And Lord, it's an encouraging word. We look at these men, and Lord, they were just flesh and blood, the same as us. Men of like passions as we are, like Elijah. Lord, without you, we're all nothing. Without you, we're all undone. Lord, there's nothing that we can do except by your grace and enabling. And those men had to learn that. Lord, they were, at one occasion there, they thought they were going to be the greatest. They hadn't yet learned that to be the greatest in the kingdom, we must be servants of all, even as our Lord Jesus was. Lord, they had to learn that they didn't need to be fearful, that you're with them always. Lord, there's many lessons there, and Lord, tonight we would have to say, Lord, we can see. Lord, there's many lessons for us to learn. Lord, we can relate to all those things. But Lord, we're thankful for the end result. And again, as we know, Lord, you're working in all of our hearts and lives with that one goal, to make us like our Lord Jesus. And Lord, we might be in men's eyes unlearned and ignorant, but Lord, may it be that it could be said of us, whatever they are, they're certainly followers of the Lord Jesus. May that be our testimony. And we give you thanks in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.